Joining us now is Linda Wilson. She's a Washington State Senator representing Vancouver, the great, great city of Vancouver, Washington. Senator, so great to have you on Live from Seattle today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good to be here. Great to have you. And hey, let's talk about, we wanted to chat with you about some of the Washington emergency powers that Governor Inslee has had. And I know you've been working on some amendments on this, and this has been a consistent theme. He was asked about it yesterday in the press conference if he was going to give these up. He basically said no, because then you wouldn't get federal money. Tell us where we're at with Governor Inslee's emergency powers and your reaction to what he said yesterday.
Well, you know, it really doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's been pushback all along for this, for any bill that addresses emergency powers. Of course, it's been 2 years. I dropped a bill in 2020 to address this, which was a very simple bill. Basically, we wanted to do the same thing now that we have been doing all along with the statutory proclamations or orders. And we just wanted to be able to address all of them, you know, even the prohibitive ones. And, you know, we've been pushing for this. We tried to bring it up on the ninth order last session. We called special sessions to get them to address this because there were so many things that we felt that we needed to be able to come in and talk about as legislators, as duly elected legislators. And so, you know, and really, I think I need to clarify that the laws that he's working under were laws that were passed in 1969. That's the powers that that's when he was given these powers to do what he's doing now. And you know, I don't think back then that they expected, to have a pandemic as the emergency that they were thinking of when they passed these laws. I think it was more likely a flood, an earthquake, a landslide, something like that, right? So, of course, the need to have emergency powers right away, right, to be able to address the situation right away. And then in 2019, we had a very broadly supported by both sides another bill that is what allowed us to come four corners to the legislature when emergency was declared, and then he had emergency orders, and then four leaders, so two leaders of each of the House and the Senate, then would be able to weigh in and all would have to agree in order to allow it to continue after 30 days. And that's all we really wanted, right, for all of the orders, all of the ones that are causing the mandates, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates, you know, the closures of businesses, that kind of thing, because those are dramatic, right, for our businesses and for our people. These are the kinds of orders that really affect people's day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. So, and so, of course, again, you know, I introduced that bill and nothing happened with it. We tried everything we could to bring it to the floor. It was ignored. And then, I dropped another bill after they dropped their bill, the 5909 bill. And then we tried to basically put either one of those bills on as an amendment to, you know, to the 5909, because the 5909 bill doesn't do hardly anything. Really what it does, it allows the prohibitive emergency orders to continue indefinitely unless there's a unanimous vote to end them, which means only one of them could say no, and then the emergency continues. So it's really in the power of the executive branch. So,
what was the point of bringing that one forward then? If it doesn't do anything, why even waste the time doing it?
Well, because then they can say that they address emergency powers, because a lot of the people out there don't have any idea. It just says addressing emergency powers, so they think we've done it, right? Because they've been clamoring for us to be doing this for a couple of years now. What are you doing as a legislator? What are you doing to help, you know, change this? It's like, well, our hands are kind of tied. And so now they can say, they can go back to their constituents and say, yes, we addressed emergency powers, we're done, we're good. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't know what's in the bill, except for if there's something happens. I mean, like, you know, this mandate yesterday came out, said over a month from now is when we get to take our masks off. And then what happens if something happens and he changes his mind, right? Because this mm-hmm. will have already passed, maybe. And then they're going to think that we can actually do something. And then we can say, no, sorry, that bill didn't do anything. We can't do anything. So they're going to be disappointed if they think that this is what, you know.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
So where do they stand right now then? I know are there a couple different bills that are kind of floating out there, or is there just one bill that's out there right now?
Nope, it's their bill now. It's 5909 that has gone from the Senate over to the House, and I want to make sure to tell you this. So they're having a hearing on it in the State Government Tribal Relations Committee on Monday morning at 8:00, and so you have the ability for if you want to call in or you want to participate in or written testimony, I should say. You can either testify or have written testimony. You can go into our legislative the website, and then you go into participation in legislative process, and then you can actually sign up to testify, and you have to be signed up before 7:00 on Monday morning. And so, you know, and when it was originally heard in the Senate, there was about 5,000 people that signed in to testify mm-hmm. or
yeah,
to
right.
Because they thought it was okay, yay, right? That we're finally getting emergency powers. It's like they just didn't know what was in the bill.
Wow. So, okay. So what's your take now on 5909 on this bill? Where are you at on it?
Well, I voted no because it doesn't do hardly anything. It just leaves all of the power in the hands of the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And so I voted no because I was hoping, I mean, I really wanted it to get through the process. I wanted it to get out of the committee so that we could have the discussion on the floor. So we did, but they refused any real reform. Either one of the amendments that we had would have made it a whole lot better. It would have given us 30 days, you know, for us to be able to address either the prohibitionary or the statutory orders. So we would be, and it would have been three of the four to extend it. See, that's the difference, is the difference between terminating it or extending it. Mm-hmm. The way it is now, the way we do the one order, the statutory orders, is you vote to extend it. So all of them had to agree to extend it. If one of them didn't, then it would end.
Right.
That's not how 5909 is set up. So the hope is that it will get over to the House. They will hear the bill, and there will be amendments in committee or amendments on the floor if it gets out of committee. Governor doesn't want it to leave the House. He doesn't. Plus, he doesn't think the bill does anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
he probably think even though it doesn't do anything, he thinks it's probably just a censure of some sort. You think?
Yeah, well, he's just not happy because, I mean, he said once before that it's not necessary, right? Mm. And then when this bill passed, he said, we're pleased the legislation does not hinder our state's current response to COVID, meaning his response to COVID, so it doesn't change anything. So and he knows that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's that's why I really want people to know is that it doesn't give the power back to the legislature. The duly elected legislators, you know, we're a co-equal branch of government, but that's not how this is working.
Right, right. You know, well, I can't imagine, Senator, that this is going to play well in November. I mean, I've got to believe that this is going to hurt Democrats without a doubt in November here in the state, for particularly for so many in Washington who are more moderate minded, independent minded. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to continue to vote, many of them Democrat, with those moderate independents if they're not willing to, you know, rein this in, because this has just been, it really has been not good in my opinion.
Right. Well, and I don't know, because it doesn't, you know, the titles of these bills sound really good. So the hope is that they will understand that they did this for political reasons, not because they're trying to rein in the governor's powers, right? Because the governor didn't like what they were doing, and they really didn't want to make the governor unhappy. So this is what they wound up with, was practically nothing, but it just sounds great. You know, that happens with a lot of bills. Bills that sound really awful, and it's like, oh my gosh, how do I vote against this? Because it sounds so bad because of the title, right?
Right.
So this sounds good. So it's like, how do we vote against this? But I had to, because it doesn't do hardly anything.
We've got Senator Linda Wilson with us. She's a member of the Washington State Senate representing District 17 in Vancouver, and talking about the emergency powers for Governor Inslee. And I was curious your reaction, Senator, to Governor Inslee's press conference yesterday, talking about the reason that we're still going to maintain these emergency powers. He said it sounded like into the indefinite future, was so that federal money would be available. What's your reaction to that?
That doesn't surprise me at all. I know that when you have an emergency, we've actually got a couple of emergencies, declared emergencies, that have been on the books for like 8 years. It's just because of the money that can come in from the federal government. If we're not in a declared emergency, then we cannot receive the money, which, you know, that's difficult, except that I think that the legislature still should have the ability to understand that and rule appropriately, right? I think it's our job to do that. Our Constitution says that all legislative power shall be vested in the legislature, and that the governor shall see that these laws are faithfully executed. Well, I think that all 147 of our voices should be at the table. And we understand that. It's not just him that understands, right? That what needs to happen to keep money flowing, if that's what we need to have happen. But yeah, that worries me a lot. How long are we going to go and be in this emergency? Because there isn't really an emergency anymore. It should be in the, you know, we should be regulating it. We should be, you know, it's managing it. There's no emergency per se, right?
Yeah,
that has to be dealt with.
Well, there's a lot of folks just, you know, concerned for the future in terms of where we're headed as a, you know, a democratic country, and some will argue if we're a republic or if we're a democracy, right? Either way, man, we have seen some things happen the past 2 years. We're seeing some pretty shaking things happen in Canada today. With the Prime Minister Trudeau and some of the actions that he's taking to peaceful protests and to see some of the emergency powers that some of our governors like Inslee have taken, it bears to ask the question, my goodness, if this is a trajectory, where are we going to be in 20 or 30 years?
Exactly. I mean, what was it Benjamin Franklin that said, you know, a woman asked, what do we have? And he says, a republic, if you can keep it. It's like, that's the thing. It's I actually have been shocked at how few people were upset about everything that was happening. You know, and in the beginning, we none of us knew what was happening with this emergency. And so it was like, okay, yeah, we should probably do this. And we should, you know, but still, again, I think that we should have had the legislature at the table trying to figure out when the governor is determining who's essential and who isn't, and what jobs are important and whose jobs aren't. It's like, oh my, it made me sick to my stomach, because I thought, whose job isn't essential? Who isn't essential in this world, right? And so it really does worry me to see and hear how it was just accepted and even now, right? I mean, we need people to stand up and say things, because I've seen what's happened in Australia. I've seen what's happening now in Canada. I mean, they're taking away their funding and they're freezing their accounts. It's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, Senator, it's time to appreciate, you know, what you're doing, and continue on, because this is very important right now. Absolutely critical, the work that you're doing.
Thank you. And you know, all of my colleagues on the Republican side, you know, we don't like these mandates either. and we're doing everything we can. We just need support.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And what does that look like, do you think? It particularly as it comes around these emergency powers, is there do you recommend folks call your legislative office, or what do you recommend?
Well, I would recommend that they contact the Democrats that need to be supporting the amendments to these bills, right? And to 5909. They've got to feel the pressure that this isn't enough, that we really truly need real reform. And so I think that they just need to have the pressure on there and say, you need to, you know, because it isn't just this governor, it's down the line, right? It's how many governors from here on out, what kind of, because they've already, now they know what this power looks like. And so I'm worried, what else will they be just determining is an emergency, you know?
Right.
And so
right.
That's what's scary down the line. And so, and there's Democrat states all over the place that are actually passing laws that actually have teeth in it, that actually holds the their governor accountable. And that's exactly what needs to happen here.
Let me ask you one more question here, Senator, regarding, you know, our budget. You know, we've seen record inflation, things cost more. We're seeing, you know, people really having a hard time, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And yet there's, we're going to see a surplus. However, it seems like there's still pretty significant tax increases on the books. And so I'm a little confused, because in a day and age where you have unbelievable inflation, is the answer to raise taxes so that people can struggle more?
Right. No. You know, we wrote a budget last year that did everything, didn't harm any of the programs, did not increase taxes, and did, you know, we did this all without raising taxes. And this year we have truly, if you add it all together, about $15 billion more than when we left last year, when we left session last year. If that is not the time to give property tax relief or any type of tax relief back to the people, I don't know when it is. And especially now with the inflation that it is, because Washington State is higher than the national average. It's crazy. And it's like, I know people that are telling me I'm having to take things out of my shopping cart because things are costing too much. You know, home heating is costing more. And now with our transportation package, with all of the massive increases in fees, in, you know, to title your car renew your driver's license. It's crazy how many. And think about the people that are hurt the most. It's the people that can't afford it, the people that have to get a driver's license. You know, it's just, I don't understand it. There's a disconnect there, and I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now's the time. Now's the time to give back to the people of Washington State some of their own money.
Yeah, how can we make that happen?
That would make the way we make that happen is to change the power balance of power in the legislature, and that happens in November. That's the way it happens.
Yeah, and how would you say things are looking? I don't know if you track that or follow that. Are there good candidates coming forward?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now Democrats have almost basically a supermajority. Is there even a shot to turn that around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually do. I'm not following the House as well as much because they have, you know, they're 58-44, I think, right? Whatever equals 49 or 98. But in the Senate, we are 28-21. All we have to do is pick up 4 seats, and then we would be in control again. We would be in the majority. And so it can happen, you know, and we do have some great candidates out there, so it can happen. It's just going to be a matter of educating the people and what we stand for versus what the other side stands for.
Yeah. Senator Wilson, so great to have you with us today. Really appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for what you're doing and, and continue fighting the good fight. Thanks for coming on the Live from Seattle program today.
You bet. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Senator Linda Wilson out of Vancouver, state senator.